This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and I recently decided to give Sterling Soap Company's Ground Breakfast Blend coffee a try. While brewing, the aroma was inviting, and the taste? Lightly sweet and delicious, as the texture of this amazing coffee was sweet and smooth, as I experienced a coffee with a velvety texture, almost creamy. Sterling's breakfast blend is light but in no way weak, with a high quality taste and smell. My wife and I are now hooked on Sterling Soap coffee, and you should be too. Check out their coffees and other products at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
Back in 1974, Sports Illustrated dropped a nugget of news that thrilled football fans and collectors alike. Topps was preparing to release a dedicated World Football League trading card set. It was poised to be a massive piece of sports memorabilia. There was just one problem. The set was never produced. For decades, that missing cardboard left a huge void in football history. But what happens when diehard fans decide to right a historical wrong? Stay tuned to learn more.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And we have a special treat for you. We have a group of gentlemen that started trading cards that pay tribute to these players and these leagues from long ago. Gentlemen, welcome to the Pig Pen.
Geez. So I can tell you how I became a WFL fan. First and foremost.
Sure.
So I grew up in Southern California, right in the shadow of the Big A where the Angels played. And when the Southern California Sun came to town, my dad took me to a game. It was closer than going to a Rams game, a little bit more affordable, family friendly, that kind of thing. And I just sort of fell in love with the colors and the logos and just all that excitement of being at a football game. And that kind of, I think it was 10, maybe when that 9 or 10. And that just sort of led me down the path. And here I am all these years later working with these fine gentlemen and kind of honoring and preserving the history of that league.
All right. Richie, how about your story?
I'm Richie Franklin. I was 12 years old when I heard the World Football League was going to begin. Started reading about it in the newspaper, started getting some interest. I was a Green Bay Packers fan, and they stunk back then. So I was looking for something a little more exciting, and like Bill just touched on, it was the colors, the logos, the football. I love that WFL football. But I turned 13 in March, and a week after I turned 13 is when Larry Zonka, Jim Kick, and Paul Warfield joined the World Football League. And from there, it just kind of snowballed. Calvin Hill, Kenny Stabler, Daryl LaMonica, guys like that were jumping to the WFL, and it just got exciting, and I just became a big fan. And it still am to this day.
Yeah, very cool. Greg, how about you?
Well, when the WFL kicked off and when Birmingham got a team, that was the first pro team that I'd ever really thought we would ever see in the state of Alabama. And loved college football even as a kid, but there was no professional football in Alabama. So when the Birmingham Americans came to town, that was a big deal because I was right about an hour away, and it was a team I could cheer for. And I thought, I get to watch them on TV, hear them on the radio. Well, what I did not realize at the time was the second home game, my dad came home and announced we were going to the game. And so I went to the Birmingham Memphis game, and then later went to the Birmingham Florida Blazers game. And, somebody in your formative years of kind of developing who you cheer for and your allegiances and your strong memories, and that sort of solidified it for me. So the WFL's always had a big part of my, I guess, my football memory, if you will.
That's great. Those are the great comfort places that we all experience when we're young, and very comforting to celebrate when we're a little bit older. So you guys have teamed up together, and you've created the WFL trading cards. Is that the correct name I'm saying for them?
WFL football cards is what we call them.
Okay. So how did all of this come about? How did you three get together? You know, you're coming from different parts of the country, and you're celebrating one league, but how did you all team up together and decide to make a trading card sets?
Well, for me, it all started in 1974. Sports Illustrated had an article on the WFL, and they mentioned there that Topps was trying to put together some trading cards for the World Football League. And he actually went to camps and took photos and stuff of WFL players. And that fall, when, you know, football cards were coming out, I stopped by our local store every day to check to see if these WFL cards were out, and they never came about. And then when Topps Archives started selling their negatives from the World Football League, we had a Yahoo group called the WFL Club. And I was mentioning on there, you know, how there was never no WFL cards. I wish there was. And, you know, I'm buying these negatives. I wish we put together a set. And Bill was kind of, he was in that club as well as Greg. And I don't know, just, we had to talk him back and forth. And we said, let's do this. And there was some interest, and it's just something that we looked at and decided to do, and we've done very well with it.
Wow, very nice. So on your cards, these are the actual photos that they were planning on using if Topps would have put out the WFL back in the 1974 era.
No.
We may
have used a couple of those negatives, but for the most part, we used our own pictures and stuff. I mean, we did use a few of the Topps negatives. We did.
Yeah. We've got pictures from Richie's private collection, from Greg's private collection. We have some other fans and historians that, you know, we can reach out to, and they'll help us from time to time with information or with photos and things like that. So it's really been kind of a fun, that's been a fun part of this, just finding some of the photos and finding different photos for different sets.
You would think that after all this time, almost all the photos had been mined, and there are days we think, okay, yeah, there's none left. And then lo and behold, we'll find a new one here or a collection there or something that was unpublished. And that's always a good thing when you find something new like that.
Yeah. It's like Christmas morning every day, huh, when you find stuff like that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Why don't you explain what somebody would experience when they go to your site, and please give your site name out.
Yes. Yeah, sure. So Darren, we have two sites that we have set up. One is called WFLfootballcards.com. So www.WFLfootballcards.com. And the other is USFLfootballcards.com. Both are set up similarly, but they're a little different look. One, I think the USFL one has a little more modern look, which makes sense since the USFL was 10 years later. Right.
Right.
When you go there, you can search through all of our different sets. You can see samples of the cards. You can see checklists to tell you which players or teams are featured in each set. Now, sets are generally player specific. We do have some that are not specific to players and more specific to teams. But we have a total, I'm just looking at my list here, we have a total right now of 35 sets available between Wow. WFL football cards and USFL football cards, which... we've been doing this since 2013. So, you know, pretty impressive for that period of time. We average a couple of sets a year. And we've got some more like in the wings that we're working on, you know, developing and trying to see when we can get those together and get them out. So our cards are picture cards. They're front and back. They're standard card stock. They're standard card size. Typically color photos. We do have some that are black and white that, you know, we just haven't been able to find those crisp color photos that we want of players. But and the cards are most often designed to give the look and feel of a card set from the era. So we've got card sets that look similar to Topps sets from the 70s and 80s. We've got some that look like Fleer sets. We've got a new set that has not quite come out yet. It's coming out later this year, but it's based on the old Hostess cards that you would cut out of the, you know, Twinkie box, right? We did
get them on the bottom of your box of ho-hos or something.
Yeah, exactly. We just did a set for the USFL that looked like Kellogg's cards used to come inside of cereal boxes. So we try to find things from our childhood that resonated with us that we think will resonate with collectors and historians, and put the USFL or WFL into those kind of templates, so to speak.
Okay, well, that is great when you do that and have a familiar form that you know, people loved as a kid, you're going to love it as an adult, and you want it when you have a little bit more money to spend and get these things. So that's really cool. It resonates with me, and I'm sure with the audience too. And folks, just a programming note here. You know, Bill called out the websites. If you're driving or you don't have a pen and pencil because you're at the gym, the show notes of both the podcast and the YouTube channel will have those links in there. You can get connected to their cards, the WFL and USFL cards. So take note of that. So yeah, very, very interesting. So what's the process for making a trading card? You know, we all look at them. We've all had them in our hands and everything. You obtain the pictures, and then what kind of happens after that? Where's the magic happen?
It's kind of a multi-phase process.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, one of us will throw out an idea for, hey, what about a set of this group or subgroup or this type of team, and then we'll sort of banter it around a little bit. And then I gotta say, Bill is sort of the template king. You know, he can can say, what about a set that looks like a certain day, time or era or whatever, and he can just come up with it. And he's, you know, I always tip my hat to him. And then once that is in place, then it's just, you know, we look for photos and then the information, and then we proofing and, you know, kind of send back and forth. What do you think about this one? It's a fun process.
Oh, I bet. So you guys, you have all the like stats or the fun little tidbits on the back of the cards too. Who does all that research?
I would say all of us.
Share everything. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
But photos are the hardest part. You know, there's players that we'd like to make cards of. We've had players ask to make cards of them, but photos just aren't available. And sometimes the quality of the photo is not great, but that's our biggest issue there, is getting good photos.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, since you guys have given us that nostalgic feel and the retro feel here a little bit, I got to ask the question that's on everybody's mind that's listening right now. Do you have the stale pink gum that tastes like cardboard in there too, in the cards?
No, we don't. But we did do a set, and I'm telling you which one it was. We did a set, and we did a title card that looked like an old wrapper, and we put on there with no stick of gum.
Yeah,
I can't remember what set that was off the top of my head, but we have done that just for fun.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever bought that for the gum, and I think they knew that.
I don't think so.
The cards probably tasted better than the gum, I'm sure. All right, so you know, you guys have all these different sets. Maybe just go around the room here and say does anybody have like a favorite set of the WFL cards that you like, and maybe tell us why.
I would say Series 1, the one that we first started, but I like a lot of our subsets too. The TVS set, is the League Jumper set, the 50th anniversary set, our WFL All-Stars are all good cards. And I would say my favorite card of all of them is, he's in Series 3, is Jerry Philbin from the New York Stars. It's a good close-up of Jerry, and a good close-up of the Stars helmet when they had the thin NY in the middle of the star. Rudy Kuchenberg and Bobby Majors cards in Series, I believe, 5, or they're just good colored photos, and those are my favorite of our cards.
Okay, Bill, how about you?
So Richie mentioned the TDS set, which is a fun set. We picked that, and it's based on, what year was it? 66, I think, when Topps did the cards that looked like you were looking at a TV. So it's based on that set. And what I really like about it is that we had to find photos, not so much of individual players, but photos from the games that were shown on television. So this set honors all the games that were shown on television in the 1974 season. That was kind of hard to do, and it was different, you know, because we weren't as player focused. So I think that's one of my favorite sets overall. In terms of upcoming sets, going back to the ho-hos and the ding-dongs, one of those hostess type card sets that we're putting together might be based on one of those teams from Southern California we talked about earlier. And I do kind of have a leaning towards that set.
Okay. Yeah. And Greg, how about you?
I think the League Jumpers is my favorite set just because of the fun we had going through all the different photos. And personally, my favorite player is former running back from Alabama, Johnny Musso, and he was featured in that set. Another of my favorite players is Dennis Holman, who played for Birmingham, and he's in the Series 1. And it's just been a lot of fun just kind of going through and seeing a lot of these photos, some that you forgot that you had seen 10, 15, 20 years ago. And it's been a lot of fun just to see these things come together.
Yeah, you know, I was going through looking at your site over the last week or two here, the WFL.com site, trading card site, and you have a gallery there. And at first, I didn't catch my eye till I started seeing some of the names on there where you have actual players holding up their cards, I'm assuming. I couldn't see what they were holding up exactly because I was looking out on a phone. But that's pretty cool because you guys have, like, what, a couple dozen or more former players holding up cards from the sets?
We're now up to 45. I went to a sports card show in Chantilly, Virginia, the CSA show. And Jim Kick was there, and I took his card there, and I got him to sign some, and then I showed him the football card, and I said, "Hey, will you do me a favor and hold it up?" And he goes, "Okay," holding up my card. And I took a picture of it, and I sent it to Greg and Bill, and then a light bulb went off my head. I said, "You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to get other players to do this." So I put together a real nice package, and I sent it out to players, and I'll get them to sign a card for me. And so far, I've got 42 cards signed by players, and but 45 is the number we have on our website of players. Well, 44 players. Gary Davidson, the commissioner, he's holding up his card too. So we made a card of him. So that's been a fun process. I'm going to keep adding to it. And I'm actually working on a WFL football cards promo for us. And I've gotten five players, Paul Miles, Rudy Holmes, Joe Womack, Frank Polito, and Dan Callahan, who've done videos for us. 20, 30 second spot wearing their WFL football cards t-shirt and holding up their card and talking about our cards. So we're going to be putting that together soon and putting that on the website. But it's been a lot of fun having the players work with us, and they enjoy getting their cards. Some guys only played in the World Football League and never had cards made of themselves. So they're really happy to get those cards, and they love helping us out.
Yeah, who doesn't want to see something that has your picture on it, especially when you're younger and you're, you know, at the top of your athleticism, you want to show off to the grandkids or something. That's really cool.
Exactly.
Sure. So was there like any interesting stories of encounters with some of these former players that were in these leagues that when they found out that you're making the cards?
I think we've had a couple of families. I think some players and players' families both that have reached out to us and asked for 40, 50, 100 copies of their cards to give out to family members or, you know, for various uses. I think that's pretty cool when you know, a daughter or a son-in-law or someone sees a card or reads about it and says, "Hey, that's my grandfather, that's my uncle, that's my father-in-law, that's my father. I'd really like to have their card." And so we've had quite a few folks reach out to us over the years for special orders of cards like that, which we've been able to fill. I think that's kind of nice.
Oh yeah, that's tremendous. I mean, who wouldn't want, if your uncle or your grandfather played in that league, have it up on the wall somewhere, the conversation piece, just a memory. That's really, really spectacular. You guys are doing a great job on that. So let's talk a little about, let's turn the page a little bit. We've talked a lot about the WFL, and I think that's where a lot of your hearts are at, because that's the first league that you're falling in love with. But let's talk a little bit about your USFL sets. What can you tell us about them?
So USFL sets, I think we started the WFL in 2013. USFL came up in about 2018 for us. And I'm trying to remember exactly what got us going on that. I think just having chats, you know, as we often did as we're reviewing, you know, photos and talking about next sets and things like that. We started just kind of talking about how much we all enjoyed the USFL as well, and remembered that fondly and thought it could have done what it, you know, could have done more. And been around a lot longer on the football landscape. So we just kind of started digging around for photos and found a few other experts on the USFL that were not necessarily WFL experts, but people that we knew that could help us out with that. And so we've had some other folks, historians, help us gather that information. And it's kind of taken off from there.
And we've had our customers from their WFL football cards ask us to do other leagues. And there was a lot of requests for the USFL. We've had requests for arena football, the Continental Football League, which that would virtually be impossible to find photos on that.
Yeah.
But we've gotten requests over the years to do this. And the USFL was just a natural because it was so popular. And the photos were more accessible than it was for the world football, or at least color photos.
Yeah, a lot more media in the 80s than there were in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think I don't know about, I can't speak for Bill and Richie, but I've had, I guess in terms of a fan going to games, I had a lot more experience in the USFL. You know, when I was a kid, the WFL was around. Well, the USFL came around and, you know, I was graduating college and had a little more disposable income, had a wife that didn't mind going to the games with me. And so we went to quite a few games. So it was a lot different experience as a fan for me. And so when we started doing the USFL cards, that to me was a kind of a cool transition from one set to another, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Greg, just a question for you. Okay, so you got to experience a World Football League team in your town in Birmingham, and you also had a USFL team, and you went to games for both leagues?
I did, yes.
Okay, so how do I want to phrase this? You ended up losing both of those leagues, so you end up losing the franchises.
Correct.
How were you, after the World Football League folded and you had a USFL team, was everybody sort of sitting on their hands saying, oh God, I don't know if this is going to work? Or
well,
so you became kind of detached? Or
no, well, it's when the WFL folded, I was 13 years old, and it was sort of like, oh geez, that's a bummer. But you're 13, so the next day you get up, okay, let's go to school, let's do this, do whatever, and you kind of bounce back. And I think I'm about an hour north of Birmingham, and that's where I grew up. And I think there were a lot of people that were my age that were really sad about it. But I mean, we're kids; we kind of move on. I can't speak for the adults in that equation. When the USFL came along, there was already this feeling of, well, we got burned once, but this seems like it's going to be okay. And there were so many comparisons with the WFL and the USFL as it relates to the Birmingham market and the WFL market in Birmingham had a pretty strong franchise. They really had some money troubles toward the end, but the USFL, Birmingham was one of the higher echelon teams. They put a good product on the field, had pretty decent attendance. And so when the USFL folded, it was almost like, the adults that I knew that were fans and went to the games and we had a lot of conversations about them, we sort of looked at each other and went, no, that this can't happen again. This is really happening to us again, And so that's sort of the joke now is Birmingham is the city where leagues go to die. So, and it was not a fun experience.
And probably in recent weeks here, it's probably brought up some bad memories with the UFL.
a lot of Facebook Nexus. Activity, yeah, because of that. Yeah,
I'm sure. Now, how would you guys feel being World Football League fans? The USFL is, they tried to bring it back with the second generation of USFL, which is now the UFL, and they took some of those team names. What if somebody decided in the UFL or maybe the Canadian Football League tries to expand again, and they go to a city and they use an old World Football League name? How would you guys feel about that?
It's already happened a couple of times.
Yeah. And a lot of the names are taken now, right? Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah. Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah.
Memphis
Although
Grizzlies.
Grizzlies was sort of a, you know, moniker, but
nickname.
Yeah. Houston Texans.
Yeah. I was going to say the NFL's already did that. Houston Texans.
Yeah. There's Jacksonville Sharks and indoor football, right? So a lot of them are already taken.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. Okay. All right. All right. So why don't you, one of you could explain what the process is. If somebody wants to get some of these sets, you know, how can they get their hands on it and see what they're buying and go about purchasing some?
Yeah. So I think the best way, Darren, to get a hold of our cards is to go to our website, our websites, WFLFootballCards.com or USFLFootballCards.com. Take a look at the gallery, take a look at the photos, take a look at the checklists, see what interests you, buy one. And I think once you receive it and you see the quality of the cards, I think you're going to want more. And that's, we get a lot of repeat buyers that'll maybe buy one or two sets and then they'll go, oh man, let's go. And then they'll buy all six of the original sets in the WFL, or they'll buy all three seasons of the USFL. Then they'll get into the subsets that Richie mentioned, kind of the more specialty cards, and start to really enjoy them.
We also have Facebook pages for both sets too.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, if you want to do the call outs on those too, we'll put those in the show notes too, so people can.
Yeah, if you're on Facebook, it's just USFL Football Cards and WFL Football Cards, and you can go and you can see some of the ads we've put together, some of the reviews of our cards. We've been reviewed in Richie Coffin Corner and Gridiron Greats. Magazines. Many of our sets, not all of them, but many of them have been reviewed so far.
Yeah.
I think our newest ones are out there now to be reviewed.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your products with us. And most of all, we appreciate you for preserving the football history, because the WFL and the USFL were very important parts of professional football history in the modern times. And they really did a lot of things to change the game that we still watch today. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank
you. Pleasure.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, and I'm the host of the podcast When Football Was Football here on the Sports History Network. This podcast is based on stories, events, and characters from my book called When Football Was Football, The Chicago Cardinals and the Birth of the NFL, which was written shortly after the Cardinals won their last championship in 1947, or so it seems. The reason for this message is twofold. First, to share the great news that the second edition of the book has just been released by McFarland Publishers, and all Sports History Network listeners can now enter a special Sports History Network contest for the opportunity to win one of two free copies of When Football Was Football. We'll be happy to include a personal inscription in each winner's book and then send it out to you with our best wishes. The new book contains about 80 more pages than the original, almost all new archival photos, additions within all chapters based on new research, and an update on the players, coaches, and administrators mentioned in the book. It's everything you ever wanted to know about the early Cardinals, as well as the NFL itself. To enter this free giveaway, go to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you.